Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Before you lies a beautiful meadow. In that meadow, Progressive Direct has placed its auto insurance rates alongside those of competitors. You select the lowest rate and feel a great sense of calm. A great sense of...
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates so you can rest easy. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's going on? Victor Cruz here, and you're listening to The Victor Cruz Show.
And I'm just here, I guess. This is PR.
PR's also here. I'm sorry. PR's also here.
You know what? We're not going to do this. You know what? I'm going to do the plug they asked us to do on Winner's Circle Media, and I'm out of here.
Intro game is strong, producer E. My name is Victor Cruz. This is the Victor Cruz Show. Every week I come to the studio and I open up the doors and I come in and producer E has everything laid out for me. And PR just shows up. I don't know how he gets here.
I'm getting drunk on the show.
Like, oh, you know what? I hope everybody's enjoying themselves. PR, say something else to the people other than...
What's up, good people? What's going on? You tuned into the PR show with special guests.
You know what? We have another special guest here. I'm going to interrupt that. That's not happening today. We're going to interrupt this to introduce my very, very good friend, my best friend, that has joined the show with us today as a surprise guest when I walked in. I didn't know he was coming, and he almost tackled me on the way in, but... Ronnie Fogg, man, what's good?
I'm going to count it as a tackle, even though you don't go down. You know how it goes. Yeah, everything's good. I'm in town for a few days. Happy to be here. Happy to be in PR's office. I don't make it down here enough. I don't get to see my homies enough. And when we get together, it's all laughs, all love. So happy to be here.
Can we talk about Kithland? Was yo, anybody that could get Mace Diddy bopping on the stage... With that beautiful clothing wrap. I mean, it's just crazy.
Here's the crazy thing about it. It's like, he pulled Kithland off. That already feels like it was like 3 months ago because he's done so much shit since then. Mm-hmm. He's got so much going on, so much coming up. Talk about what he's got coming up tomorrow or today as people listen to the show. But we got to talk about Kithland. RF, you're probably over it because knowing you, you're on to 2019. But like, vision going into it, how it all came together. I want to know how you got all those people. Like, talk to us, man.
It's crazy. Yo, Kithland was something that I decided I was gonna do a year before it happened. I was like, the brand is at a place now where, you know, it deserves a show. So we put together a lot of product. And the problem is, you know, usually we put out product and it's a bi-weekly or every month, you'll see a post, you'll see a small collection, a capsule or some footwear, and you know, it's for that moment. So I wanted to see what it would look like if we laid out everything that was dropping fourth quarter together and mix it up. And, you know, getting the team together was an amazing process. Eugene is one of the best stylists in the world.
Shout out to Eugene.
Yeah, he's a Eugene the God is what I call him. And it was great. It was working with him and like, you know, it was his idea to mix in all the different collections. So you saw it mixed in on stage, right? So like, or you know, on the runway, in the Samsung space. Shout out to Samsung. So when you saw that, it was like, it was something that I'd never really like wrapped my head around before. I saw it while we were, you know, while we were styling 90 looks. You know, that's a lot of looks. So
90 looks.
90. Three. It was split up into Beach City Mountain, which is Miami, New York, Aspen. Some of those things haven't happened yet. A lot is happening in December.
And all right, I always say this, and I'm really talking about myself. But like the average person doesn't know a lot about fashion. You say 90 looks. Like, what's an average? I mean, that's a lot of looks.
Right. The average show is like 30 looks.
Wow.
So it was basically three shows in one, which is why we had to split it up. And when we split it up, I wanted to do it, you know, with New York's best, you know, and... my life, basically, like 1996, which was part of the collection. You know, there's a 1996 collection that was part of the looks. You know, that was the most inspirational year of my life. So grabbing the locks and Mace, you know, Fab came a little later. I think Fab was 98. But, you know, grabbing those artists and having them perform on stage, and then Ja Rule, then A$AP Rocky, like, that was a moment for New York, and it was a moment for the brand. And to be completely honest with you, I haven't spoken about the show in at least 2 weeks, and it happened, you know, almost 4 weeks ago or whenever it happened. I think on the 13th of September. So it was a moment. It was amazing. It was probably the highlight of the year for the brand, but there are bigger moments coming the end of this year, and it's like it's only going to push us to do more. And you know, now we're going to show once a year, but it's basically to show everything we do fourth quarter. So everything we if we're showing September 13th, it's everything we're releasing between that date and the end of the year.
Oh, so you're going to come out, you're going to do Kithlane every year?
Yeah, every September.
Nice.
You know what was dope about it for me is you were in the room for this fit. I remember asking you, why won't you do a fashion show, like 2 years ago, and you were like, I don't want to do one just to do one, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what separated you apart from a lot of the people in your industry, that you don't ever do shit just to do it, right? You do everything with a purpose, everything has a story behind it, a meaning, and that comes through, whether it's something as, I won't say as simple, but something as a color scheme or a palette or whatnot, or a story to tell. Everything has
a reason,
right? Which I think is super dope, and that's why it becomes such an authentic connection with your consumer. Vic, what did you know, you're Mr. Fashion. You've been to hundreds of fashion shows at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the front row, like you were enjoying yourself at the show. Like, what was your take on it? Your honest take, not because that's your man sitting to your left. What was your take? What was your experience at the show?
I mean, my experience was amazing. I mean, to group that many looks together seamlessly and to have it come out and still present a story within three different, you know, pretty much lines in a sense in mm-hmm. terms of when those collections are coming out and the differences between the three. I mean, it's, no one's done that. I mean, I can't even think of anyone off the top of my head who's done something like that. So to have it be my brother and to have it be someone that, you know, I admire in this fashion space and the things that he does, it's a beautiful thing.
It comes from, you know, like a lot of people don't know this. I don't know if I've ever told Vic this either, but like when I first started, you know, producing apparel, right? Like it started with a pant. And I remember like my mom and my grandmother, like, you know, she doesn't understand. She doesn't really get what it is that I'm doing, and she's not into the whole internet game. And, you know, for my mom to tell my grandma, like, oh, he's making clothes now. My grandma was like, When am I coming to the show? Like, when is your apparel going to be available in Bergdorf Goodman? Like, that happened. Wow. That happened. Like, that conversation happened 3.5 years ago. You know, and like, what I promised my mother, I was like, listen, I promise you, one day there will be a show. You know, I'm getting into this apparel thing now, and I won't get into it unless I know for sure that I will take it seriously. I will learn as much as I can, and you know, there will be a day where you'll be sitting front row at a fashion show of mine. And like the day that, you know, my mom was, it was the moment, just seeing my mom, the way that she reacted, that made everything like worth it. But that's where the inspiration came from to really take the apparel to the next level. When it started off as a jogger, it was just a twill jogger that I created for myself. And it was this like washed out camo scotch and soda pant, I think it was, that I just got tailored because I liked the print. And I was wearing it, and you know, I added elastic cuffs, and the shape of the pant, I just tailored it to be a little bit baggy in the thigh, but like tapered in the calf. And people kept asking me about the pant more than the shoes that I was wearing. I was like, what about my shoes? You know? And then from there it became like, okay, I got to take this thing a little seriously.
And how long ago would you say that was? Right?
3.5 years ago.
So 3.5 years ago, you started with a jogger pant.
That's right. Yeah.
And we're celebrating your first.
Can we ask how many jogger pants you sold? Just so that people just get a roundabout figure, maybe ballpark.
That year, I sold as many as I could make, you know, of the Mercer pant. And we were making them in New York City. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was just like, I was working with this dude, Ahmed, who was like my guy, you know, my guy from the... you know, my guy from the fashion district. You know, he was just like, he was the one from the garment district, just making all of these pants. And it was like whatever fabric he can round up that I would like in colors or whatever. And then he had some people that were working in these factories making these pants. It was however many he could make, and it was that kind of thing. Like the minute we put them online, it was. I remember I was in Turks and Caicos one weekend, and then we released 5 different versions of the pant, and I wanted to make enough for the season, so I made like, I think I made like 4,000 pairs trying to last me the season, and we sold out in a matter of like 15 minutes.
4,000
yeah.
pairs of pants?
4,000 pairs of pants. And if you ask anyone in the industry, pants are really tough, it's a really tough item to sell because you don't know how it's going to fit, you know? And like, I was scared for people buying them for the first time, not knowing if they were going to fit or not, like...
And that was
4,000 for a shot. And then after that, it was like, listen, people really want this thing. And like, people are buying it from all over the world. It was a big international play. And I was like, Ahmed, you just need to make me as many as you can. Just make sure we don't sacrifice quality, you know, and make me as many pairs as you can made in New York City. And I think that, you know, I think we sold a lot of units. that year, we sold a lot of units.
4,000 pants is crazy.
I mean, that was just that day. Then it was, and then
so don't be disrespectful, fam. That was that
don't
day.
Be, yeah.
Pardon.
Might have been a Sunday.
You know?
No, so yeah, it was.
You know what's dope to me, though? Like, you know, and it speaks to the person, you know, I mean, both of you are, but in this case, you, Ronnie, that you've been super successful, maybe the most successful person, you know, amongst your peers today. But super humble, super same dude from the day first day I met you. So much so that, I don't know if you guys caught it, you can rewind the show if you want, but he just said at the Bergdorf dinner, right? You just did something like monumental that kind of hasn't been done in this space before with Bergdorf. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Bergdorf. And again, stems from like growing up, going to Bergdorf first time with my mom, walking in, my mom leaving with like perfume. You know, we'd walk in, we spend like half a day there. And it was like, you know, like I don't come from a rich family. I don't come from money. But Bergdorf in my house was like the end all be all for my mom, because my mom still is a very fashionable woman. And that's how I got, you know, the taste level that I have is because of my mother. Always liked very nice things, but would work really hard to get them, and they became items in her closet, you know, and like, and she would archive the items in the basement, and the way that things were folded and put into place and like archived, it was like, it's an amazing thing, you know, like, and if I asked my mom about certain things, like she would tell me to go to the basement, open up boxes, and, but the way that Bergdorf was handled, like the way that she put Bergdorf on a pedestal back then is kind of the way that I put Bergdorf on a pedestal today, you know, like, and it took me time to like realize why, because I grew up and I learned a lot about the industry, but Bergdorf is an institute, you know, it's the Institute of Fashion, it's like where everybody wants to be, and it's like, to be there is like the ultimate, you know, sometimes when you sit back and you look at like what the brand has accomplished, that's one that's for the books, you know, like that's one that, you know, they believe in the brand, they believe in me, they broke brands like Tom Brown, you know, so like you heard it at the dinner that night, hearing Josh speak on it, but having the president of Bergdorf speak about Kith the way that he did, you know, it just gives us more will to do what we do, more of a reason to come into work every day and just like take over and do what we do. But,
and more validity in that space, because like, let's be clear, you know, when people saw Kith Land or people heard that you were in Bergdorf, it's like he keeps raising the bar more.
Okay.
It's like, oh, he's
real,
working.
Yeah.
And I hope it encourages everybody else to work and want to, you know what I mean?
That's hopefully what people get from it. Because for me, it's like I'm a Jewish kid from Queens that started working at 13 in 1995. I'm not supposed to be here. I was not supposed to be here, but now that I'm here, I'm the type of person, and there are two types of people in the world. There are those that can sit back and watch, or those that go and get it, and if I'm going to be here, like, which I willed myself to get here, I'm going to make sure that I make the best out of every situation. And, you know, you're one of the people, one of the few that have seen from the very beginning, the first piece I made up until where we are today, you know, and it's never forgotten. I'm a regular person, though. I'm not like, you know, I hate being a boss. You know, I don't, I like the creative side of the business, but I'm running the company at the same time. And it's like, you know, I love things that other people love. I enjoy things the way other people enjoy them. The only difference is I just work the hardest out of anyone I know, and you know, and that's why we're at the place where, you know, that we're at today. So I believe that anybody that works as hard as I do can get to where we are. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of how much work you're willing to put in. I don't believe that it's a God-given talent that you're born with. I believe that if you find out what you want to do early enough in life and you work hard to get there and you start from the very bottom and work your way up, anybody can do it.
And that's, you know, I've always said this, anyone that's heard me speak anywhere, is that, yes, everyone's got talent, everyone's born with a gift, you know, whether you can find that gift or not, but that's not what separates people apart, right? I can only speak for myself. Some of the most successful people I know are regular dudes, right? The dude show you're listening to right now is, I don't care what he says, 5'11 on a great day with two pairs of thick socks.
They got me listed as 6'1.
And some Tims.
I'm listed as 6'1 in the Giants program. It doesn't get any more accurate than that, okay?
On a great day, my man is 5'11 and a half, 6 foot, you know. And he, you know, I don't need to go down the list of accomplishments, you know, Victor's done in his short career, which is now a long career. You know, people talk about LeBron being, you know, gifted. There's a lot of 6'9 guys that are playing the NBA.
That's a fact.
People talk about, you know, Dre. Yeah, he's a producer. There's a lot of guys that came up from a hard upbringing that turned it into something. People talk about Jimmy. The common thread with all the people, again, that I know, me personally, is they've just busted their ass and really worked really hard. And I think what's taken them above and beyond that is, even after, you know, some of the people I've mentioned, two that are in the room with me right now, have reached a certain level of success, that's not the finish line. It's like, oh, now I just have the platform to be able to do some really even bigger things.
Yeah.
It'd be easy. You've made a lot of money, right? It's been easy for you to say, you know what, once a year I'm going to go, it's a passion project, I'm going to release a couple of hoodies or something like that. It'd be easy for you to say, I made it, I'm not supposed to be here, you know, but can you talk about that a little bit? Or I've actually...
Hold on. Before we move anywhere...
What's going on?
Shout out to producer E pulling up the Wikipedia of none other than your boy, Victor Cruz. And in the height section, hold on, RF.
6 foot nothing.
Yeah.
I'm reading it right now.
That's fine.
6 foot 0.
That's accurate too. And that's dated. That's, you know, I can't even tell you the last time they updated that.
You give that bro
a. You give me 8 seconds, I can edit that.
I wonder what else is under there.
5'10 and a half. Those are facts. Don't you dare touch that.
Story, you're sticking with it?
I'm sticking with it.
No, but look, I guess the question I'll ask is why? What is it that drives you? It's questions for both of you. What is it that drives both of you to say you've clearly, you're at the top of your games? There's no one, you know, in your space, are often what you're doing, the volume and the quality you're doing it, the level you're doing it. Vic, you're a Pro Bowl receiver, like, but you guys still, I know you still go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. I know you're at work at 9 p.m. Right? Like, why? Can you guys, like, talk about that? What's driving you guys?
I'm going to speak on Vic for a second, actually. I'm going to speak on Vic for a second, right? Because, you know, people, the biggest problem, right, and it goes, the biggest problem with social media, period, and what people see, even if they watch, you know, if they're watching television and they see my man on the field, you know, the one thing that people, you know, the one thing that people are doing today is that they're swallowing their words for all the shit they were talking the last 2 years. I've been waiting to come here and speak about this.
RF has been waiting so long.
Do you remember the draft of my tweet that I was about to send out before the season started?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was there watching this man train so fucking hard. It was insane. I have never seen or heard of anyone, and I've watched documentaries, and blood, sweat, and tears, man. And it's real.
Literally.
It's real. It is real. And to come back from what this man has went through mentally, it's exhausting. It's like, there are very few people, I don't know if I know anyone who can come back the way Vic came back and what it takes to come back from that. People discount it. They don't understand. I was there. I was there when, you know, the machine helping Vic bend his leg on the couch to for the blood flow, just the, seeing the pain and in the hospital after a surgery, and like the mentality always was positive, you know, like, it's like, yo, Ron, where the Game Boy at? I'm like, dude, your fucking leg looks like it's about to fall off. Like, and it was like, yo, and just seeing how positive this dude is and his outlook on life is so inspiring. You know, like, there's a reason why this is my fucking best friend. There's a reason why this is going to be my best man at my wedding. Because his outlook in life, the way that he sees the world and everybody, he sees the best in everybody. And that is the truth, you know? And it's an amazing thing. And watching him catch balls on Sunday...
Pause.
It's a crazy feeling, because I remember what it was like before he got injured, how I used to feel watching football and what I was feeling during the time that he was injured. Football was a different game while he was injured to me, just because of how close we are. And like, yo, the man deserves so much respect from this city and from everyone who watches, you know, professional sports, especially the NFL, to understand a person coming back from that type of injury to where he is today. Hats off. It's an accomplishment that is a notch in the timeline. People will look back, and this man has a legacy now, you know? So, he helped that legacy come to life.
So that's literally, literally nothing I can add to that. What I will ask then is, you give me RF's story then. You, Victor, give me Ronnie's story. He just gave your story. You've seen, again, like he said, from that one pan to the conglomerate that is Kith today.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the best part that tells RF's and I's story is that when I met him, like the day I met him, when I walked into that store, I walked in Atrium and then walked through the back and was like, what's this? I've never seen this back here. And I walk in and I see him and Sam in there. And then
it was a lot smaller back then,
too. It was a nook, if you will. And I didn't know who he was at this point.
Okay. And he was just walking to the store, checking it out. Okay.
And I didn't know who Ronnie was. Ronnie knew who I was because of he was an immense Giants fan, and he knew me from the preseason games. So it was a year after that, or that summer, that off season. And we just started to kick it. Like, we just started to talk. And next thing you know, I was in there two and a half hours. And we were just talking about everything under the sun other than sports. I don't even think we were talking about football or anything. Not even close. We were talking about life and, like, real life substance things. And when we exchanged info that day, and he actually gifted me a pair of Pumas that day, which I still have. And shout out to Nike, though. They're one of the best brands. ever.
Just do it.
You know, swoosh life forever.
I didn't know he was a Nike athlete. Yeah.
I don't even think I was. I don't think I was a free agent back then. It was legal. We good. Shout out to the lovely people at Nike, at the swoosh. But I think because of that moment, because we met at such an organic moment and in such a moment that was so genuine, I think that explains our friendship to this day. I think that explains why, when things are going wrong in my life, he's the first person I call. He's talked me off the ledge numerous times throughout this entire recovery process, because as we know, that's not an easy thing to go through. That's not an easy thing to go through alone. Like, you need people. Yeah, you need family.
But tell them, though. Tell the people, you know, tell the people the heartache. You know, people need to understand, because seeing you on the field and having them fucking have the, you know, the announcers just like, speak about you coming back after missing X amount of games. It's like, they can't feel the way I feel or you feel or PR, people that have seen you in your circle. Let the people know what the process was. I know PR has asked you numerous times, but they need to understand. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, that. Let's be clear. Step by step, the process is real. You come out of that surgery room, first off, they teach you how to walk with crutches the next day after surgery. They don't even wait a day. So your entire leg is throbbing. You're practicing going up steps with these crutches that maybe cost 47 cents to make. And you're just trying to figure it out, and your leg is clanking up against the wood and it's hurting.
Yeah,
there's
no reason why you should have the same crutches like I have.
Yo, for real. Like, it is what it is. Like, the hospital was like, look, bruh, these are the joints we got.
We just gave producer Edie last week. He rolled his ankle in a rec league. Too, Victor.
And then after a few days in the hospital, you go home. They give you the CPU machine, which is a machine that the one Ronnie was talking about, referencing putting my leg on it and it bending my leg for me to regain that range of motion and that blood flow back into my leg. Meanwhile, my leg is still the size of my forearm.
Yes. Yo, I remember that. One leg was like... It was crazy. It was so crazy. I mean, we had the same size leg.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And it was like, you know, with that, okay, so that's 8 weeks or 9 weeks of that. And then once you start feeling good again, you have to go and get your therapy, which is getting the strength back.
You need to pee at night. What's the process? Like, explain to people, because I remember seeing you struggle. You know, getting up and going to the bathroom was like a 20-minute procedure. Like, it was, and then one day.
And that's just for number one.
One day. You
feel me? Yo, there's been times where I'm on these medications, and I get, you know, you go to the bathroom, and it's impossible to handle your business when one leg is stretched straight out and you cannot apply any force to that leg because it'll hurt in tremendous, tremendous pain. So you have to just, you sit down and after 19 beads of sweat come down your forehead, you position yourself a certain way and you figure it out. But those are the things that people don't see. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that the spasms that you get as you're regaining the strength after 16, 20 weeks in the middle of your sleep, you spasm and your whole leg stiffens out and it hurts like hell. Like those are the things that people don't see. You know what I'm saying? The single leg squats at 3 a.m, you know what I mean? While like putting Kennedy back to bed, like things like that, that people don't see. You know what I'm saying? Going to Japan and being up for the time difference and deciding to go to the gym instead of just doing nothing in my room and working out and staying ahead of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the things that people don't see. These are the times that people don't account for. And best believe I know that people say certain things on social media. I document all of it. Mike Francesa, I document everything, fam. Jordan Rainin, I document everything. You know what I mean? So just so you know, I understand these benchmarks that I'm hitting, and I'm honestly shocked myself. Like, I'm shocking myself with week in and week out being able to catch footballs, being able to run these routes the way that I run them, the way that I used to run them, and feeling that way. And it's a great feeling, and it's a great feeling to look at everyone in the face that doubted me and be there and stand there on my own 2 feet and say, I'm back and I'm here to stay. You know what I'm saying?
You're not only back, though.
Talk to him, all right.
Yo, because when I ask, how many times I ask you percentage-wise, how you feeling?
I gave you an accurate percentage every single time.
And that day when you were like, yo, Ronnie, I'm 100%. And you know me, the Jewish fucking worrier that I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like,
yo, Vic, you 100%?
He's like, you sure?
Yo, you're 100%.
He said, you feel nothing.
Yo, you feel zero. You feel zero right now. And you were like, yo, I'm 100%. And I'm like, yo, today's the day. Like, that's all I've been waiting to hear for fucking 2 years. Like, yo, today is the fucking day. Like, that's an amazing thing, you know?
Vic, I can't tell you how many drafts of tweets and posts I've had to talk Ronnie out of.
Yo, Ronnie gets so reckless on Twitter sometimes. So reckless.
He's super laid back. Super humble. Never really stunting on anyone. Like, he was livid.
Yo.
And the only time I've ever seen Ronnie really want to stunt was your first game back this year. Ronnie was like, I have names, I have drafts saved.
He's ready. He's so ready.
I'm ready to let the chopper go.
I mean, but that just shows you how, you know, like, I'm loyal with all of my friends, man. My circle is very, very small. You know what I mean? And to have people like Ronnie and like UP, and it's just people like that that keep me sane and that make sure that my head is on the right path and that I'm headed towards the right way. And this is the only way I keep it. This is the only way to be. You know what I'm saying? Because no new friends, man. Like,
but, you know, that's a perfect transition. You know, Ronnie, one theme you've had throughout, you know, even your short stay with us here on this show has been family. You talked about that promise you made to your mom. You know, I think of the dinner at Bergdorf where, you know, you made sure you introduced everyone to your parents. And it was really, really, really important, you know, influential people there at that dinner. And you took the time from interviews, from photos, to be like, hey, let me introduce you to my parents, you know, like, so, you know. And some people may not even know the meaning or the definition of kith itself. Like, families, and everyone says family is important and whatnot. Like, family is, like, literally, like, the backbone of everything you do. Like, is that a fair statement?
Because, you know, that's the whole, that's where the name kith comes from, right? Kith is part of the phrase kith and kin, which means friends and family. But I got rid of the kin portion because I believe my friends are my family, right? So, and you know, I believe that we keep each other, you know, we keep each other safe. You know what I'm saying? Safe from those who try to put us down, you know, and we keep each other at a level where, like, you know, I want to make sure that my friends are always good. You know what I mean? And that's super important to me. you know, the motto Just Us, that's where it comes from. You know, it's like, you know, the shirt that you're wearing right now, roll with the winners. Like, that's the mentality, you know? The mentality will always be back against the wall, grind until you can't no more, you know, keep the best people around you. And, you know, Pete, like, you are, you know, one of the, first of all, you are one of the best personalities that I've ever met in my life, you know, because you keep things always 100 with everybody. Mm-hmm. You're always, you know, the most liked person in the room.
It's a podcast, so we can talk. Can you get someone at the door, please? If you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, in the middle of your compliment.
It's important. Yeah. It's going to be edited out. It's all good.
Ryan, do me a favor. Pick that up again from the top, and then I'll just cut it.
Yeah.
You wasn't getting my hand signals at the fucking door if someone's
out
there.
I thought they were calling a slant route against the cover, too.
That's fucking great.
Producer E's drunk.
Yo, that's fucking. That was fucking great right there.
That's
fact. Yo. I thought you were calling it an audible. Eli Manning's style right there.
Omaha.
What I was saying was, and I'll pick it up from the top, like, you know, you're the first to compliment everybody else, you know? You're the first to, like, make sure that everybody else knows that you, you know, love them for what they do and, you know, support them with everything that they're working on. But, yo, it's you that also deserves the most, the utmost respect and the support, you know, because, yo, you keep it always, you always keep it real. You're always, you know, the most liked person in the room because you get along with everybody. And, you know, that, sometimes after hanging out with you for an hour, it makes me want to be a better person because the way that you speak to people, the way that you're, you know, you are also one of the most humble, even though sometimes we get into the jet talk and then it's bad, you know, check his avatar, check the avatar, you know, and you know that, yo, and sometimes within the circle, we fuck around all the time.
Absolutely.
And we stunt and our,
absolutely,
you know, our thread is like the best thread.
Absolutely.
You know, like we throw shit in there that's like, that keeps, yeah, it keeps everything positive, keeps us laughing and, you know,
absolutely,
and that roll with the winner mentality, that's like one that the brand, my brand, believes in. Obviously, Vic, you know, people like LeBron, people like Mav, like these are fucking people that if and when they go, their fucking difference in this world will be felt. You know, like people might be taking advantage of the fact that we are here now and might not understand the movement, but you know, we are together, we are a force to deal with, you know, and like we have people in every, you know, Vic as a fucking great athlete, but also one of the best people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. You also same thing, business savvy, you know, but from the street, understands both sides of the coin. That's very rare. Very rare. You know what I'm saying? And between you and Mav and what he does, and Bron and what he does, and like, and even O and what he's been able to do, mm-hmm, you know, and right now with the build that we're having at my brand, I feel like the conglomerate
great
is
time.
Like, we help each other out, you know what I'm saying? And if I pick up the phone and call anyone, I know that, like, the help is there, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's funny you say that, Arf. It's literally, like, the thing I am proudest of. It's not a deal, it's not any one moment, and, you know, we've all experienced amazing things. It's the collective of people, right, we associate with every day and call our friends and our brothers, right, even above and beyond friends. And I always say to me, and it sounds crazy at first, I say, you can tell more about a person from who their friends are than their family.
Right.
I say that because
true. You can't pick,
you
your,
can't
family,
pick your friends,
right?
You can't pick your
family,
right?
Right?
It's like, we all have the drunk uncle, right? Shit, some of us may be the drunk uncle. you know, but you can tell by the people, you know, a certain individual keeps around them. I am most proud of the collective we've picked to have around us, to immerse ourselves with, to keep it real with each other. If one of us is tripping, it's like, dog, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never in public, but hey, you're wrong. And I can pick up the phone and ask Ronnie, who has his own brand and is flourishing, RF, I did it the other day. RF, I need some help with something. What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
My contacts are your contacts. You can call me and say, I'm looking for this. So we've created this collective of people that are all successful within their own verticals or categories, whatever you want to call them. Is all getting their own money, but are willing to help each other without, you know, expectation of anything in return. And that doesn't happen every day in life. And it just so happens that we're all young and all doing things. And we're all so busy that I don't think we really even recognize it. when you take a step back and look at it, it's like, we got you, Vic, doing what you do on the field. We got, you know, LJ doing what he does. We got Steph Floss, the DJ. We got Ronnie in the fashion world. You know, me, Mev in the business, Future the Prince, you know, the like, we really are this generation's version of just people that are successful, but more importantly, aren't even tripping off that. It's how can I help my brother?
Right.
And I think it shows in the results and the things we've been able to accomplish as a unit.
That's the best part. I mean, in my opinion, it's just an amazing thing to be surrounded by people of culture, by people that understand what they're doing and understand their level of power. I think we all understand how we're shifting the world and how we're doing it and just trying to maintain that. And we're so busy keeping that alive that that it's a beautiful thing. It, as we wrap, Ronnie, what can you talk to us about upcoming at Kith? Besides those glorious shirts on your feet right now.
These are fucking glorious. I'll start with that. Because, you know, when I get on my shit, I get on my shit. And, like, yo. Like,
have you seen Ronnie's closet in his office? Like, the closet?
Yes, I've seen the closet.
Okay.
All right.
I want to make sure. We won't talk about it anymore.
Like, you know, it's funny because people are so quick to judge. And I've been judged my whole life. And, like, a lot of people think I'm a dick. Many people think I'm a dick, and, you know, I learned to accept that a long time ago, that it's not about what people feel and what people think about you, you know, it's about the actions you take with your friends and your family, as long as you are real to the people around you, you know, none of that other shit really matters, and that's the truth, because, you know, people fuck around all day about Vic and his relationship with me, and like, and the Kith, like, it's just fucking, it's ridiculous. But like, I think people are jealous of like a real friendship, always. You know what I'm saying? And that's a real thing. You know, and the funny thing is, I'm leading into like what's coming up, because what's coming up.
But Arp, if I could interrupt you before you even say that,
right?
What's dope about that is like, you've put your money where your mouth is, right? And what I mean by that is, and you may even be uncomfortable with me saying this, but like, there's people that do deals or partnerships with brands, right, and their first thought is like, you know, what's that check look like? What's the most I can make? I have seen you. I have benefited. Well, we have seen you, Vic and I. We have benefited from you've taken money. You've paid money out of deals to make sure your friends can come and experience stuff with you, right? We just did the Paris thing, right? So when Ronnie says that, you know, it's really bigger than the check, and it's about family and experiences and really treating your friends, you know, in a special way. Like, I've seen you do that. Like, I've seen you take, and we're not talking about a couple hundred dollars, a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so kudos to you. You've done that, and you've done it more than once. You've done it consistently, and you really do live, you know, the family stuff you're talking, you know, the Kith brand. I think the reason why it's been successful, aside from it being super dope, is it's authentically you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, people are, before we get into like what's coming, which I won't take too much time, but, you know, people are quick to look at the brand and be like, you know, but why are you like doing this Captain Kith thing after you just like finished wrapping, you just wrapped up your first fashion show? Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, have asked me before I went out with the marketing scheme, like, yo, are you sure that you want to? And what I explained to them is like, The brand is not about what's right in the industry's eyes. Mm. You know what I'm saying? The brand is always going to reflect where I am mentally at that moment. You know what I'm saying? And like, yo, the Captain Kith thing, it's one of the fucking best things I've ever done, ever. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, people don't understand what this means to me. 1996, you know? I'm 14 years old, and I'm talking to people about opening up a cereal bar for the first time, you know, and like, and now I'm collaborating with Captain Crunch on my own cereal, and I have two papas coming. It's fucking crazy, and it's launching tomorrow, and I'm as happy as could be. You know what I'm saying? You can't just
breeze over like, I'm partnering with Captain Crunch, like,
yeah,
like,
no, I mean, I'm trying not to take up too much time, but I wanted to get into what you just said. I work on shit like when Miami happens in the end of November, beginning of December for Basel, and then 1 week after we do what we're going to do in Aspen, those things are built. I start working on that from the beginning so I can work with my friends. You know, like, I hate hearing myself speak. So I start working on that. The inception of an idea. You know, we sat down in the office with Columbia and it was like, yo, where can we put out this ill product? How can we do it? How can we make it bigger than like just releasing it in the shop? And then we toss around ideas. And you know, those are the best moments, by the way. When you can sit down and I get a minute to think, you know, I'm pretty good at this shit. When I get a minute to think and get creative, I'm pretty good at it. I just don't have a lot of time right now. So like, I have to make the most of out of the time that I do have. So when I was sitting in the office with a few of my people from work, you know, my project manager Thomas and my direct, you know, my marketing director Rachel, like we're sitting down and we're like, with the Columbia team, where can we release this product that we built a 70 piece collection with Columbia? Where can we release this product for it to make sense, right? And it started with Columbia, and then it went to Tumi and Adidas and Timberland and like cashmere fucking pieces with New Era, Capita snowboard. Like it snowballed from there. But the idea was, where can we do this where A, all of my friends are there to experience it with me. B, it's a place that most people haven't been. C, they get to experience it through the product, right? So like, that's a thought process that nobody has. Like the thought process of like, I don't care about the money. I need to be building product for a reason. The reason can't be the money. If the reason is the money, I would have taken a check a long time ago. I would have sold the brand a long time ago. But when we go to Aspen and we take over a city the way we take over cities, you've seen it firsthand, Vic.
Yes.
The first time we took over Miami, we took over Miami.
It was a problem.
It was, I mean, that was like one of the best trips of my life. But anyway, when we go to Aspen, we're going to show up. You know what I'm saying? And like all of my boys will be there except for Vic, because Vic's in the middle of the season. But and we're going to miss you there. But it's like, we're going to show up there and we're going to be...
Follow me on the snap, Vic.
We're going to be 50 people deep. PR. We are going to be 50 people deep in Aspen. It's going to be us in Aspen.
By the way, Aspen, we've been... I had the luxury of going with Ronnie to
picking
go look
the
at
house,
venue.
Picking out the house. Picking out the house. Picking picked out. Out the house. Tell him about the fucking house, Vic.
That's the time y'all FaceTimed me.
The house is a part. Yes, that's right.
I was having the longest day of my life.
I was like, P, are you seeing this? We're taking this.
Yo, we were flipping the... Yo, look at the mountains, P. Look at the mountains.
Vic and I were on a fucking gondola. Do you know what a gondola is? We were on a motherfucking gondola an hour. For an hour, we can't breathe. Listen, we got it to the mountain.
Yo, a kid from Queens, New York, to death, Patterson, yo, New Jersey. On a gondola.
Just top of the mountain, man. Top of the world, Craig. Top of the world.
Honestly, we were up there. Like I was like, yo, I gotta pretend like I've been here, B. Like it's like I'm like spinning. I'm spinning around like fucking Cinderella, looking at this shit. I'm like, it was an amazing moment. But you know, but the first and foremost, before you can get there, it gotta be like, how can we get everyone there? Mm-hmm. How can we enjoy this project? How can we enjoy it as a whole, as a unit? You know, so it's another notch in our memory bank, not as a brand, not as the apparel and the merchandise, which, by the way, when we designed that shit, we went all the way in. But it's more about like, yo, let's create one of the... And Miami was that. You know, Paris was that. Mm-hmm. Tokyo was that. You know what I'm saying? So this is another moment. It's the 5-year anniversary for the brand. I want to wrap up the year in something with something amazing. I haven't even spoken about Miami and what we're going to do there, which is for another time.
Part two?
Wow,
you know, the Miami store.
The Miami store, yes.
The Miami store. Yes. And that is, I'm going to open the nicest store in all of Florida, maybe the nicest store in the country. This is when I get cocky. You see what I'm saying? This is when I can talk my shit. Because
I love when you talk that shit.
Because sometimes you work for a fucking year on something and it's about to happen and you're so excited about this shit. I didn't do it to be second best.
Wow.
Talk about it.
Right?
So you know what's fun? You know what I love about my relationship with Ronnie is, or our relationship with Ronnie.
Yo, but the best line is, what you think I rap for? Yeah, to listen, push a RAV for? Like, nah.
Our rap will tell us, yo, I'm gonna do this crazy thing in Miami, right? We'll talk about it for 5 minutes, and we'll never hear about it again. And then you just get an invite to the grand opening of the best store in the country.
With a Snarkitecture shoe in the box as the invitation.
You are killing it, brother. RF, before we wrap and get into a little bit of Giants stuff before we go, because yes, obviously Vic's Giants fans.
We didn't See what you did? He knows how to get me fucking riled up, too. He'll be like, yo, Miami, go. I'll be
like, speaking of which, Captain Crunch pop up.
Yes.
Right? People listen to this.
Yes.
This will be Saturday. I'll listen to it. Producer E's like, don't
better get there early.
Yo,
get there early, B.
It's 5:43 Broadway for the pop up. The merch is dropping at 11 a.m. Eastern. This will probably be after that. So, you know, go on the site, kithnyc.com. But 5:43 Broadway, 500 boxes, supermarket size boxes of the Captain Kith will be individually numbered and sold in the space.
Hard stop there. Captain Kith.
Captain Kith, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It's apostrophe N.
Chocolate Crunch, OG Captain Crunch, and Marshmallow Charms mixed together, because that's what we do at Kith Treats. We mix shit together. We come together as a whole. That's right. And it'll be available there. It'll be numbered, but we're gonna be serving all of Captain Crunch cereals. So like Captain Crunch supplied us with all of their different cereals will be part of the space. Ice cream will be obviously part of what we do, and mixing and matching, and all of the merch and the cereal. Like, this is, we spent a lot of time on this shit, you know. And shout out to Jessica Spaulding from Captain Crunch for believing in me. You know, for believing in me on a different level. I've never done this before. This is something that we do. But when the shit gets posted on Vogue, when did Vogue ever think about posting anything? Captain, that's the kind of level. We've taken it in a tasteful direction. This is a experiential moment for the brand, for both brands to come together and do something like this. And I'm taking you there after this, by the way. I don't give a fuck if we got to go for 2 minutes. We got
to
see it.
I'm gonna say this. The last thing I'll say to you is, like, honestly, I sit here, and Vic, I know I can speak for you. You never cease to amaze me with the things you do. I remember being in your office a year ago and talking about the Yankees collaboration. I'm like, this is the biggest thing you'll ever do.
That's what I thought.
Life.
The Yankees thing was like, oh, he's reached the pinnacle. You know, he's reached the mountaintop.
Right? Yeah. And then it's like, it's Aspen. We haven't even talked about your bait call. Like no. We literally don't have time to talk about like all the stuff you have going on.
It's too much. But
man,
you know what I'm going to tell you is, like, yo, there is going to always be, you know me, there's going to always be a moment, you know. And I just came back from a trip where, you know, next year we're gonna do the shit. Like, I will close the loop of everything I've ever wanted to accomplish in my lifetime with, you know, this time. I'm not talking about, like, you know, traveling and seeing fucking things, which honestly don't matter as much to me than doing the shit that I'm doing here. But, like, I will close the loop on accomplishing everything that I wanted to accomplish with this brand when I first started thinking about creating a brand back when I was like 15, 16 years old when I worked at David Z. You know, there was a short list of things that I wanted to accomplish, and next year I will accomplish the impossible things that I was told I would never be able to do. And you know, I'm just a, you know, Vic and I are friends because we can relate. Mm-hmm. You know, Vic, every time he's on the field, I know, I can see it. He looks up and he's like, wow, like, this is where I am right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, his father, rest in peace, he didn't play football. You know, like, this wasn't meant for him. Right. This wasn't meant for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, my parents, my father is an engineer. You know, like, he's a computer engineer. So, like, for this to happen, it's like, it's unexpected in my family. You know, and like, the love that I've had for my friends and my family has been amazing, and the support and everything has been great. But this shit was never supposed to happen. So Khaled, what are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do now? You know, we're gonna just keep making it happen. I'm not gonna just automatically stop. You know, like, this shit is gonna keep snowballing, and that's what this brand is about. I'm gonna maximize the potential of this brand, because who are we if we don't maximize the potential of the shit that we do, P?
I'm gonna keep it all the way a buck. It's been honestly an honor to have a front row seat to see the shit you're creating and the position you have in culture and how you're really dictating where culture goes. And even more exciting to have, like, the little grain of salt that I planted by saying, that's dope, can you send it to the size 11 or whatever I say? You know, like, keep pushing the bar, man, and transitioning. Victor Cruz, New York Giants.
Hey, hey.
Yes, sir.
New York Giants, a rough week in terms of, like, a lot going on in Giant World.
A lot happening, man.
Like, a lot going on. Hit a little bit of a rough stretch, as, you know, that's why we play the game. But I don't even want to talk anything on the field right now.
Okay.
I want to talk about, and we very rarely ever get into like you off the field personal stuff, but you posted it, so I feel comfortable having the conversation.
Brace yourself.
You posted a post, and if I was better at this, I'd have it already ready. I think it was 2 days ago, and I will read it, and then I want you to tell me why. You posted this 2 days ago, and this is from your IG account, and it says, "See, the thing about family is that when things aren't going our way, or when things get tough, we don't just abandon each other. We remain strong. In fact, it only makes us stronger in the long run. Family is forever, not just when it's convenient for you. So just relax and smile at OBJ. God will take care of the rest. Hashtag strive for greatness. Hashtag RWTW." Talk to me about...
Shout out to you not skipping the hashtag.
Hashtag RWTW. Hashtag never forget.
Absolutely. Hashtag bills to pay. talk to us about why, what you were thinking. If you can, share what you can share, what you want to share.
Absolutely. I mean, it's public news. It's public record. O's been going through some difficult times.
Yep.
On the field and, you know, not being able to deal with how people are coming at him on a weekly basis. And we've had our own internal conversations about it, but I wanted to make a more public stand about it because that's my brother. Like, we talk about things. We've shared moments already on that field that no one will ever know about, that will stay between him and I, and it will stay. And, like, real moments, like, serious moments, like, that can't be replaced, that can't be taken back, and the things that he said to me. So I just want it to be known, and I want everybody to know that I'm behind him 100%, as well as remind him that this is only a game. This is a game. We play a child's game for a king's ransom. Like, this is still a child's game. You should still want to enjoy this game and the moments you have on this field. And I wanted to tell him that, which I've told him that in his face, in person, and I've told him, and I wanted to make a public stand on that as well. And in my opinion, man, the way Green Bay is set up, he's ripe for the picking. This is his moment. This is all of our moments. I think we haven't had a time where all three receivers have clicked. I want us to all go for over 100 yards this week, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like, and if you, you got the Wikipedia set, how's the Wikipedia? Is it still up? Because the way Wikipedia is set up, the last time we played the Green Bay Packers, I had roughly 117 yards receiving on just 5 catches. And just a short 3-yard touchdown from the one and only Eli Manning. But that's just Wikipedia. I'm not saying this isn't me gloating. This isn't me like, this isn't extra. This is just what Wikipedia says. So the way we're set up going into Green Bay, it looks good for us. And they're down. Sam Shields, unfortunately, get better Sam Shields, but their secondary is just ailing right now, and this is where we need to flourish.
I love it. Let me ask you this. There's been, and 2 more questions, I will wrap because we're running long, but, you know, New York City, love it, hate it, everything in between, and I actually posted today it's the best city in the world.
Facts.
And which Ronnie commented, facts, right? Mm-hmm. And David Creech, who's our friend up at Brand Jordan, said hashtag PDX. But, you know, one of the things that comes with New York is playing in New York and the media and the swirl around that, and some things, you know, a grain of salt becomes, you know, a beach of sand, I should say. There's been a lot of swirl in the media of just kind of like, just too much. It feels like it's week 16 as opposed to week 4, right? Can you tell us about, like, what the locker room temperature is like, you know, behind closed doors?
Oh, the locker room's love. I mean, the locker room is tempered, you know, well meant. We understand exactly where we are. We're not panicking. No one is hitting the panic button. People are calm. Everyone's, you know, it's business as usual. And that's the way you want it. And that's the way it should be in this moment. Obviously, we'll deal with whatever we have to deal with in the long run, but it's business as usual. There's people that earn paychecks and come in there and have to work. You know what I'm saying? And we understand that. And that's the way we approach it.
You just said a word that I've never actually asked you about this on or off, you know, the mic. Work. I'll ask you, like, hey, what's your day like tomorrow? And you're like, well, I gotta go into work. Like, you treat this thing, like, you know, with the respect of it's work. You don't ever take that for granted. Like, can you speak about, like, you don't ever say I'm going to practice.
Mm-hmm. I think I get that from Coach Coughlin. I think he instilled this this mindset in us that we have to treat this like this is our job. Every year after the final cuts and we make the team, the first thing he says to us when he comes out and says, all right, this is our 53-man roster. I want all of you guys to play like as if you're still trying to make the team, as if you're an undrafted player trying to make the team. He says that every year. I've been there 6 years with him. Every single year he says that. And I almost, this year, almost last year rather, I almost repeated him, almost took the words out of his mouth. Like, that's how much he says it every single year. So I think coming in with that lunch pail attitude and the fact that, like, you know, like Ronnie said earlier, I came from nothing. Like, I came from Paterson, New Jersey, where my mother just made enough for us to, you know, buy a home and move out. And she worked an hour away to and from. And you know, we had to struggle. The first day we moved in, there was, like, a massive brawl in front of our house. Like, this is the first day we move in. And I walked outside to watch it, and someone yelled an expletive at me and told me to get back in the house. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I come from the hood, you know, for lack of better words. So to be in this moment and to be here, I have to cherish it. I have to cherish every single moment because this might have been meant for me, but I wasn't prepared for this in any way, shape, or form. And I need to cherish every single moment.
I love it. Last question for both of you. What are you excited about? What are you excited about coming up?
Man, I'm excited about us lining up against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Starts at 7:30.
I'll be in Israel by watch.
You know what I'm saying? 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Grab your popcorn. Grab your Twizzlers, whatever your fix is.
Okay.
Get in front of that TV screen.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Boy.
All right, what you excited about?
I was going to say the same exact thing, but aside from that, aside from the Giants playing the Green Bay Packers, I'm excited to finish this year strong. Like, I'm excited for the rest of this year to be all of our year. Like, it's our year. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I want everybody to start seeing things in a different light, start respecting life a little bit more. Like, we work really hard, and, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I have a fiance. I'm getting married in July.
What up, Sheer?
getting married in July and, you know, starting a family with her. And, like, this is some big picture shit. I'm 34 years old. I'm getting older, you know. In June, I'll be 35. And shout out to Charles Oakley. And, you know, life is what you make it. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I'm just excited for all of the things coming up. But I'm more excited, you know, taking these trips, these long trips back and forth, all these fucking flights. You have a lot of time to think on these flights. I don't get a lot of time to myself to think alone. And, you know, I'm just super fucking happy to be in the position that I'm in. But I'm also, I'm happy for all of us. You know what I'm saying? And, like, we are going to make everything that we can do to make things better, we do. You know what I'm saying? And we do the best that we can. We're not slackers. We don't bullshit. So, like, you know, and Teddy always says this too. You know, he's like, yo, you know, we're not chumps. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, we get it. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to get it. But once you do, and, like, you understand why we're doing what we're doing, and, like, you take a step back and kind of look at it, it's like, yo, we're doing some amazing shit. And I want it to be a moment. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want things to just pass and, like the show. I haven't even thought about the show, and the show is such a big moment. I just want to make sure we're doing shit for the right reasons, right? And that's what the rest of this year is. The rest of this year was well thought out over a year ago, and we just been planning for it. And I want to finish the year strong, and I want to hit the ground running next year. You know, so, like, I'm thinking ahead.
Love it. Can't think of a better way to end the show.
I mean, that's pretty much it. You guys have been listening to the sounds of the Victor Cruz Show. That sounds like a...
And it's kind of like they've been listening to our group chat. We talk this
pretty much every day. Pretty much.
Right? Like, our audio group chat.
Pretty much is our group chat. But thank you guys for listening. This has been the Victor Cruz Show. As I said, PR probably just vanished at some point. I really never know how he gets in here when we're recording this show. RF, thank you very, very much for gracing us with your presence and your time. We know how important your time is.
Pop-up shop, man.
Please go to KISS.
What's the address again? Pop-up shop?
543 Broadway. It's right off the corner of Spring Street and Broadway.
Perfect. Only the most popping corner of Soho.
I thought about it.
Uh-huh.
Yo, it's like the craziest block in the world. I thought about it.